We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is the week for the Jimmies and the Joes.
You have to do something during your pre-draft evaluation. This dude dropped the ball on it.
This is a Draft Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness, celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Draft Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Good afternoon! Hey, happy Tuesday, everybody. Danny and Dusty with you. Jeff Rust is here as well with a new shirt. Oh,
this is a couple times.
You have?
Yeah.
Bill and Ted 2024.
Yeah.
Be excellent to each other.
Be excellent to each other.
I'm in on that.
Right?
I think that should be the new national slogan. What is it? E pluribus unum? Isn't that what's on the back of our dollar bill?
E pluribus unum. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, be excellent to each other. Let's drop the Latin. Let's start being excellent to each other.
No complaints here.
That's right.
Yeah.
None. Wild Stallions for life. Wild Stallions for life. How you doing, Mr. Morang?
I'm great. You kidding me? Basketballed so hard last night.
Oh, yeah, it truly was one of the great nights of NBA basketball. Both of the TNT doubleheader games come down to the wire, down to the buzzer. We get a close to game winner. I guess we did have a shot that lost the game for the 76ers.
True.
And then we get an actual game winner in the second one. Wedged in between was, I felt so bad for Kevin Calabro. On the call for NBA TV, it was good to hear Calabro's voice in the playoffs.
Weird to hear his voice and not hear Lamar.
But again, it was on the bad game. I feel bad. KC deserves better.
It was over pretty well. I guarantee you, he was thrilled to watch playoff basketball.
I guarantee you he was as well.
Also,
yeah.
I would say, well, you know, it started in Cleveland, didn't it? Never mind. I would say, also to be in Orlando. But
yeah, no, Cleveland.
Because I know, because on that last road trip that they had, that 15-day road trip, he got off the... off the team plane for a couple days in between and made some golf stops between Orlando
and
Miami.
I'm talking about.
Yeah, they had a day off each in Miami and Orlando.
That's what you should do.
Yeah, so him and I were talking about that trip and he's like, "Yeah, got some golf stops in Miami."
Oh, yeah, let's go.
I think he ran into the old Heat player. Totally blanking on his name now.
Ronnie Cykley.
Actually, yes.
Holy crap. Yes. Ronnie Cykley. Yeah. I loved Ronnie Cykley in NBA Jam.
Because he's still working with the Heat.
Ronnie Cykley and Harold Miner. No. Harold Miner, like he could jump like off the screen even without being on fire.
Old Baby Jordan.
Baby Jordan. Yes, Harold Miner.
But yeah, there's those two stops. And then I was like, you didn't stop off in Charlotte? He's like, yeah, I know we're close. Because the Four Seasons Hotel in Charlotte is literally across the street from the arena now. In Charlotte. So, you can't...
Those are not first world problems.
No.
Those are 1% problems there. The 1% problems, the Four Seasons is directly across the street from
super
the
convenient
arena now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the old arena in Charlotte, what they call it, like the Nest or whatever it was back in the day, that was on the edge of town, and it was like...
The Hive,
that's what it, yeah.
The Hive, yeah.
The Hive was closer to some golfing establishments, so if you were going out there, you could be like, oh, okay. Now it's literally smack dab in the middle of the city. Also,
times
Charlotte,
are tough.
Kick-ass city.
So wait, yeah, it is. The Queen City.
Love it.
Great. One of our two Queen Cities. You know we have two Queen Cities?
What's the other one's down south, isn't it?
Cincinnati.
Oh, really?
Cincinnati and Charlotte. Both state
claims. Is Cincinnati the queen of a dump?
To the Queen City.
Look,
good question.
Can you really call yourself a Queen City when your main dish that you're known for is chili on spaghetti?
You don't know what Queen's like.
Okay. You're right. But I might have a good handle on what they don't like. And I'm going to go with chili on spaghetti.
All right. Yeah.
For more on this, we'll ask RuPaul.
Drag queen.
There you go.
See? I see what you did there. Mm. I see what you did there. R.I.P. Darcelle.
True.
That was
94?
Yeah, dude. Great run. Did you ever go to Darcelle's?
Yeah. I went there once. And then my wife went there with her sister for her bachelorette party. Probably like 2 or 3 months before she was gone, I think.
Oh.
It was pretty, kind of close.
Wow.
But yeah, 94, gun down in a prime.
Yep. All right. Hey, let's get to the real news of the day. I saw this yesterday, and I felt like we needed to discuss this. This was at 4:27 p.m. yesterday.
Just a few minutes late.
Via the Pittsburgh scanner. Mm. Mount Oliver, transverse field. Two battalions of middle school kids are fighting Braveheart style on a baseball field. The kids are all right.
Hold!
In my mind, that's funny you say that. I imagined a 13-year-old with his voice cracking going like, hold!
Do we have trebuchets?
You have like these gangly, awkward middle schoolers where your feet are too big and you really don't know quite how to run yet, just running at each other, tripping over themselves, probably with pants that are either too tight or too baggy, but definitely not fitting properly, and running at each other, tripping and falling. And then one of the worst fights of all time ensuing. And I imagine that the way this started is you sit there and like the adults are like, what is happening there? And there was one, he's probably like a Will Ortner type, the substitute PE teacher, who's like, hold on. Let's watch this play out for a second here.
Probably like, I don't get paid enough for this.
Let's see this play out. And then they're like, oh, whoa, we need to call the cops. That is, I've only heard of these sorts of things happening. Mm. I had never have seen.
Great organizational skills.
Yeah, how does that start? How does that start where you're like, your school versus my school, let's go. We're going to transverse baseball field, let's get it.
There's leadership somewhere.
They're organization.
See?
Yeah.
Find the kids on each side, that were, put it together, throw them in ROTC.
Sure, yes.
Send them to the Citadel.
All right. Were there kids...
Starship Trooper those kids.
Were there kids with their face painted? Did they have their face painted?
Ooh.
Dude, that's a question that I have.
Were there kilts involved?
One can hope. Mm. One can hope if they're fighting Braveheart style. Look, yeah, I mean that's the like. In,
there's always that one kid.
Do you think over the police scanner, like it was like, yeah, we got a call from 911. We're gonna have to dispatch units. Caller says group of middle schoolers are fighting Braveheart style. Gonna have to act quickly on this one.
Again, did we get a kid? You know, there's always the kid that does the kilt. But it goes a little too far. Was there a kid that made a trebuchet? Because the leaders, we put them in the Citadel. Yeah. The trebuchet kid, we lock up.
That's true.
Because that's Danny McBride in
I thought you were
Tropic
say
Thunder.
Danny Meringue no, in middle
say,
school.
You need your infantry guys. Right?
Yeah, no. That's Danny McBride. That's Danny McBride in Tropic Thunder.
Light this jungle up!
that's the genesis of that. 100%.
We'll light this baseball field up. Here we go. Woo! Fireworks, baby. That would be something to behold. And I said this is very Western Pennsylvania of them to do. The Yinzers, they pride themselves on being blue collar, a little bit gritty there in Pittsburgh. And it appears that the middle schoolers in Mount Oliver. Mm. Are living up to that.
They got a lot of mount schools over there.
Well, yeah, because...
Which is funny, because they have no mountains.
They're in Appalachia.
There's no mountains there. They're hills.
Do you think that any of them were from All the Right Moves?
6-2 Stack Monster! 6-2 Stack Monster! Ready?
Probably.
Little Tom Cruise.
Probably.
That was Western Pennsylvania. Yeah. A little Western Pennsylvania football for you. Are they still good at football in Western Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
They are?
Yeah.
They have good football players.
You still have the Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still a thing.
Yeah. I think that, like, Georgia has taken over Ohio's. They've taken their sunshine.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, like, remember when Netflix used to mail you DVDs?
Yes.
That was, like,
Ian Carmel, famous customer service
rep, yeah.
For
yeah.
Netflix out there at the old call center off 26.
Work in the call center. Mm. So if you ever had an infuriating
DVD
call with a, no, call with a rep at Netflix who just seemed like he was poking, prodding you and seemed like he was making fun of you about 20 years ago, ooh, that was Ian Carmel. I guarantee you he had fun with people.
Oh, it could have been Sean Jordan, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Double the chances.
Double the chances of having that call go sideways on you.
Just a full on. Yeah, I'm sorry. It sucks, sir.
Two really funny comedians just egging you on, giving you enough leash to just wrap yourself up and just put you in a pretzel.
And that's back before we were probably recording all of our phone calls
for
customer service.
Yeah. That's right.
Which is unfortunate because I bet you those would be. There'd be some bangers on there.
They absolutely.
There's probably some good material on there for Ian and Sean.
A little bit of the Jerky Boys action on, but just a Netflix call center back then. Anyways.
That'd be a great bit.
When I was in college, it was right when Netflix was like starting.
Mm.
And so I got a DVD of this movie, a documentary called Go Tigers.
Mm.
Go Tigers.
It was spelled G-E-A-O-U.
No. It was about Massillon High School in Ohio. And in the opening scene, like, this is a very forgettable documentary. I actually did not like the movie at all. But in the opening scene of this documentary, it has the boosters of the high school football team at the hospital, and they're tucking little Massillon High School footballs into the cribs of the newborn baby.
Oh, yeah, no, the indoctrination starts early.
So they would tuck them in bed with them. And be like, oh, little adorable little baby.
Yeah.
And then when they started doing like high school football games on ESPN, there was this Burns High School in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I believe it's where Marcus Lattimore went.
Okay.
They were talking about how like, and this is, you know, like 2007, 2008 at this time. They were talking about how this high school had a indoor practice facility. And they were like, you know, you may be wondering, like, how they fund these things. Apparently, like, when your son is born, you can start, like, an account where you start putting money away for your kids for when they get to high school and play football.
So, like, a college fund, but it's a high school football fund.
From the program, okay? Well,
Beaverton had an indoor practice facility, too. It was called the gymnasium.
Yeah. We had a
walkthroughs.
We had an orange light that we had to practice under when it got too dark because we didn't have lights. And we called it the sun because it was an orange street light that was not over the street. It was just over, it was like turned over our practice field, just like this tiny little area. And we'd be like, time to go practice in the sun because it was pitch black and balls would be humming at us, just have no idea where it's coming from because it's too dark. And then we'd go and we'd practice under the sun.
Yeah, because I guess you guys weren't practicing at Harefield, were you?
We were not.
Yeah.
We were not. We were under the sun in a practice field that smelled like poo. Nobody could explain that one to us. Yeah.
I mean, makes I can tough. Explain it.
Makes you tough. Well, yeah, I guess we can't explain it.
This is pretty funny here on the old Vancouver Ford text line. My ex was from Pittsburgh. I'm inherently untrustworthy towards the people who put American cheese and fries on their fish sandwiches.
They do that there?
Cheese and fish is disgusting.
They do that there, huh? Is it like a fried fish sandwich?
I don't care. Assuming. Fish and cheese is gross.
I can't say that I've had cheese and fish ever. Yeah.
Don't they have filet of fish? Don't they put cheese on that?
I have never ever
exactly
ordered a fish filet sandwich
at McDonald's.
at McDonald's.
I remember when I was a kid, that was my mom's go-to.
I know people that are sick and twisted, and that's like their McDonald's thing, and I'm like, not in a million years. Mm-mm. Like, I wouldn't eat, I don't like fresh fish more often than not.
Yeah, you put three F's together like that, and it's a bad thing. Fast food fish?
No.
Fast food fish filet?
Are you really trusting that it's a filet?
Fresh fast food fish filet.
Like I said, I'll stick with the three
with
S's.
French fries.
Freshly thawed.
With French fries.
With French fries. Oh, yeah, here's another good one. I remember the documentary on West Cannon football called Varsity Blues. It was a real eye-opener. Yeah.
West Cannon.
I don't want your life.
I don't want your life.
So good. So good.
Like, you can just distort a child's, like, thinking of what times used to be like. Be like, just throw on Varsity Blues. Be like, yeah, this movie came out when I was in high school. It's like, it's basically how we live.
Shout out, Miss Davis.
Yeah, their teacher was a stripper?
Yeah.
Shout out, Miss Davis.
Yeah. This is what it used to be like, guys.
Tan! I mean,
yeah.
A tan!
Yeah, this was a documentary. This is not fictional.
Yeah. You know? All of our dads would just sit out there and watch practice and get hammered in the middle of the day. That was totally normal, guys. Yeah. You know, Tweeter, he'd steal cop cars all the time.
Yeah. Naked.
You ever heard of Whipped Cream Bikini?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that movie was, there was a lot there.
It's a great
just
movie.
Playing through concussions.
Yeah.
The idea that
shooting up the
high school
knee.
Kids were getting the Toradol shots before games, riding the T-train.
Yeah.
It was like, what world is this?
Texas. That is.
And the backup quarterback who was tricking people, thinking he was reading his playbook, he wasn't.
Mm.
He was reading fine literature, leather-bound books behind that, you know, because he wanted to go to an Ivy League school. He didn't want to be a quarterback.
What do you got, Brown?
Brown, yeah. And that's the school he wanted to go to?
Again,
that's the one.
The one we ranked last.
Yeah, the one Ivy League school. He's like, I want to go to Brown. I want to go to Rhode Island. Get me out of Texas. Mm. Get me to Rhode Island, everybody. No, come on. Come on.
Who leaves Texas for Rhode Island?
Probably because, like, they
go to the big city where all the eyes aren't on you. Oh, wait.
They probably went through this and were like, oh, we got to get clearance from Harvard or Yale or Princeton. And we're like, all of them said no. They're like, what about Brown? Brown will probably say yes.
Brown said, you have nudity in the movie? Go ahead.
We're good. All right. We're ready to get this show on the road. A lot of great basketball last night.
Fantastic basketball.
I mean, it was something, man, because we got a double bang. We had a fadeaway soul crusher. What a night in both the Big Apple and Mile High. By the way, did you know the elevation of Denver is 5,280 feet?
No way!
Yeah, I didn't know that before last night.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, thank goodness for those Nuggets uniforms.
You should have seen the Denver Broncos football uniform release, too, because it was all over those, too. Yeah. Did you know it was at 5,280?
Yeah, not until last night.
Yeah,
truly crazy.
That's what
stuff.
It is.
And I wasn't paying attention to the trim on the Broncos uniforms.
Yeah.
It was just the sheer badness of all of it.
Yeah.
Except for the throwbacks.
It was a mile high.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it because the basketballed so hard. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes. Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness
on 1080 The Fan. Why don't you cry loud?
What a night in the NBA. And look, we had two games come down to the wire, but it didn't get much better than what we had in game two of TNT's doubleheader.
LeBron, no! Porter's got it! Nuggets, 12 seconds remaining. They're not going to call timeout. 9 seconds remaining. Murray's got to go! Murray lets it fly! Yeah!
Oh my God!
Oh, oh, what a call that, courtesy of Altitude TV, as we had Jamal Murray, Jamal Murray sinks the Lakers after a furious comeback. And look, we can talk about how the Lakers blew it and they blew a
20-point lead.
And all of those things are true. But what you look for in playoff basketball is the star showing up, and for three quarters of Anthony Davis, four quarters of LeBron James, you had those two stars absolutely dominating in that game. Nikola Jokic sleepwalks through the first half. He looked like lethargic, kind of like he was lost. And in the second half, he goes wild. Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter comes up with 8 points in the fourth quarter after not being able to hit the broadside of a barn. And he comes up with back-to-back massive, massive buckets. And then whether it's LeBron James on the block of Jamal Murray at the rim on a dunk, you had the and one from LeBron. They were making plays, trading blows. It was a heavyweight fight going back and forth throughout the entire game. It was everything you could ask for in a game. And it would be, in my mind, like that game would be an all-timer if it wasn't game two of the first round of the NBA playoffs.
I think it's still an all-timer. Just because of the performances that you had, we've gotten this far without really talking about the fact that the thing we probably should lead with is that Nikola Jokic finished with a 20-20-10 line the fourth time he's done it in his career. Nobody else has done it more than once, and only four other guys have done it once. He's done it four times. 20 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists.
That is crazy.
Absolutely dominated Anthony Davis.
And did not look good in the first half. Like, the first half, it was like, what's going on?
Everybody's like, oh, Anthony Davis is controlling him. Well, here's the thing. Nikola Jokic never runs out of gas. Anthony Davis had zero gas in the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis had one rebound and 0 points in the fourth quarter. And he had a phenomenal game.
I thought it was, look, yesterday I was very critical of Anthony Davis. He played about as good as you can play for those first three quarters.
Yeah. I mean, he started 10 of 11 for the field. He was hitting everything.
He had, 24 points at halftime, mm-hmm. and was 11 of 12? And, I mean, he was a one-man wrecking crew. And he was really good on both ends of the floor, mm-hmm. too. George Karl had a tweet that even me, who is critical of Anthony Davis, went, whoa.
Damn.
AD has always been a hell of a three-quarter player. Too bad the NBA is a four-quarter game.
Yikes.
George Karl.
Former NBA head coach. But he's not wrong. Whoa. When Anthony Davis runs out of gas, he runs out of gas. There's no... Look, the thing about Jokic, beyond his skill that is insane, is he looks like he's meandering and falling down all over the place. He never runs out of gas. It's insane. He's 7 foot. 300 pounds, and he just trudges up and down the floor, blah, 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 just looks like he's falling all over the place, and then he's there when you need him every single time. Anthony Davis, when he runs out of gas, there's no, like, playing tired. He doesn't have, like, that in him. It's just, and that's, honestly, that's very normal for big guys. That was Yusuf Nurkic. When he ran out of gas, you were like, oh, God, here it goes. There's a limit that you get to with most seven-footers. Shaq and Jokic were different.
Yeah.
Shaq, go back and look at the minutes played. Go look at the minutes played and then look at the usage. And Jokic is the only player ever at that size to mimic that.
And there's a lot a lot of people crack their jokes at him about shuffling up and down the floor, not being explosive.
That's how he can play.
That's the reason
quarters.
Why. That's the reason why.
He doesn't have six speeds. He's a three speed center, and he's got what they're all built for torque. They aren't built for speed. It's about just having the power whenever you need it. There was a time in the fourth quarter where he got Anthony Davis. I think it was about 2 minutes to go, 2:30. He took Anthony Davis and boom, boom, backed him under the rim and just shot over the top of it. And was like, oh, he just moved Anthony Davis like he wasn't there.
But then you also have those moments where he that was a memorable one. But remember when he was in the middle of the paint? And I thought Jamal Crawford was great, where he just goes, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do? Where he did, like, a drop step, spin move, pirouetted back around, went right underneath. Yep. And it was like, what do you do with a guy that size who can do that late in games? Mm-hmm. Late in games is the thing, and that's where you're talking about having that one gear. I think that that was the Lakers' absolute best shot.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, D'Angelo Russell in like
seven threes.
This Texas says, glad the Lakers lost, but no. Let's not forget the D'Angelo Russell. That's the third piece. The Lakers needed, even in a close loss, no Russell, no chance. Absolutely. He came through and he shot the lights out. I mean, that was exactly what the Lakers needed to do. And I thought, you know, Darvin Ham, where he gave after game one, like, we have the adjustments, we just don't want to make the adjustments known. In the first half, they did give the way they played the pick and roll, and then the pick and roll that they played on the other end, kind of going at Jokic and making him make a decision. And when he was dropping back and you're hitting threes, Denver's just daring them to make threes. And they did.
And then they didn't have it, the adjustments in the second half.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that they didn't have that. When the Nuggets came out and started running more inverted pick and roll with Jokic as the ball handler, not Murray, and going more DHO centric and Jokic did a great job of getting Murray involved, because Murray was awful. Murray was off until the fourth quarter.
You know, I loved what he had to say after the game. This is courtesy of TNT.
Man, I told my teammates when I was struggling, like, I'm going to look for y'all. I'm going to look for y'all. And every single one of them told me to keep shooting. Keep shooting. Be aggressive. Keep shooting. Even when I was throwing up that floater. you know, they just told me to stay aggressive and keep looking for it. Keep hunting it. I had the ball with a few seconds left, and I knew once I made a couple, you know, the next one should go down as well.
His teammates were just saying, keep shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Keep shooting.
It's one of
keep
the best playoff performers in modern NBA history. They know what he's capable of. They've seen him do it in an NBA finals. Like, this is not a thing where they're like, I don't know about Jamal. Like, I don't, like, they know, just get it going, man. We need you. Because you take a look at the bench. Denver's bench gave them 12 points, which doesn't sound like much. The Lakers gave them 6. You had 18 total bench points in this game.
Can't do it. Like, that is absurd to think of. And that's where you kind of go to, that was what the Lakers' best punch looks like. Because, all right, who are you going to get bench points from?
Or
Spencer
you,
Dinwiddie?
Or Rui or Reeves to step up.
And I saw this floated around, that maybe the Lakers' best punch in this, because of the way he defends, is Gabe Vincent in the starting lineup. And do you try to find a way to bring, there's no way you bring D'Lo off the bench, but if you need some sort of scoring punch in a shooter, who do they have as a shooter coming off that bench?
Torian Prince was too, I mean, he shot 40% from three this year on volume. Like, that's what he's brought out there to do. But outside of that, yeah, I mean, even if they get Vanderbilt back, Vanderbilt's not a shooter.
Nope.
So, yeah, Vincent, you know, is supposed to be, but also I was, and when this happened, you know, the Lakers in free agency let Schroeder go and signed Gabe Vincent, and then Vincent didn't play basically the entirety of the year. They're a lot better off with Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
Like, they're significantly better off with Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
And I said that when they did that, I was like, why would you pay Gabe Vincent this money when you, it's like, you have Dennis Schroeder at home.
Yeah.
Like, What's happening here? And that might, weirdly enough, be their undoing here of any chance of competency, because they are just not getting anything from that group.
Well, let's get into the fallout and the aftermath. I thought Jamal Murray, that shot is an all-timer. The end of that game, the back-and-forth nature, the fact that you have the defending world champs erasing a 20-point second-half deficit, the fact that Jokic puts up a historical stat line, the fact that the first half was dominated by Anthony Davis and LeBron James coming up with big plays down the stretch at 39 years old, you're going, how does this guy still do it? Yet, there he is. And then Jamal Murray makes that shot. Michael Porter Jr., another great night, too.
Yeah, great supporting night. You take a look at what they kind of expected of him. 8 of 13 from the field, but 6 of 10 from 3.
Boom.
22 and 9. Like, it's the quietest 22 and 9 because he's just doing what's expected of him.
But the fallout is the Lakers are playing the victim here.
Mm-hmm.
That after rest with SportsCenter.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, let's talk about what happened in that game between the Lakers and the Nuggets, where after the game, LeBron James had quite the statement on officiating.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f- do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Knicks game too. What are we doing?
Ooh.
The world changed. That's what happened. And by the world changing, I mean the way the NBA is calling games, the way they have directed their officials to call games, is it is blood sport out there now. Physicality is back in the game. They have decided that the optimal score is essentially 100-100. That is the right amount of pace. The leverage of three-point shots are worth more. Because when you're playing at 140 to 130, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What the reason we lived and died on those threes in these games is because the value of them went up exponentially more because the scores were tighter. They're more compressed because free throws are not being given because team fouls are not stacking up and teams are not getting to the free throw line and they are directed to do so. And now you have a guy in the 21st year of his career who's been a part of every single bit of the NBA legislating fouls into games. Frustrated that it's now gone.
And I understand where he's coming from with that, though, because, I mean, you look at it, and on the follow-through, he does get him on the face, which should be a foul. Is it that in review, they weren't looking at that as part of the foul? Is that what it was?
They didn't care.
Okay. I think it's rich that Laker fans are complaining about fouls.
There's actual data that shows that the Lakers and the team have a distinct advantage.
That's rich. But I think the bigger issue that I take with LeBron has every right to take that podium and say, look, they botched that call. That's not the reason why they lost that game. Because that foul in question happened in the final minute of the third quarter when they were leading by 10.
One point in that quarter, they were leading by 20.
And so it was the chipping away. Now, if you want to sit there and you want to say, well, you know, if he gets to the free throw line and he makes, you know, a free throw or two, then they win that game. Sure. But you also had a 20-point lead in the middle of the third quarter. Now, as long as you get that thing, what is it, by 4-minute mark of the fourth quarter, get it under 10 and all bets are off. You still had a 10-point lead at that point, right? Anthony Davis not scoring in the fourth quarter, that's a big problem. And why was, like, my problem isn't with, like, Anthony Davis being more aggressive himself. Why weren't the Lakers making it more of a point to get him more involved on the offensive end?
I think he was out of gas because if you're Anthony Davis, you should be demanding the ball.
And that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. I know. And look, I was very critical of Anthony Davis yesterday and saying, I think he's soft. And he, during that game, he was not. Mm-hmm. He played like a dude.
For three quarters.
For three quarters. He played like a dude. And people get tired. Like, everybody gets tired. And I think he defended Jamal Murray really well on that final possession. It's like, dude is falling away at like a 45 degree angle, heading back away from the basket and towards the baseline. And he just still floats that thing over. Like, Anthony Davis was in good position there.
Do you think AD was super enthused to talk about that shot after the game?
No, that bothers me though. Like, and that's where it's like his makeup, where he just like gets all pieces of Jamal made a shot and he throws the mic down and gets up and walks out. Like, come on, dude. Like, it's a 7-game series. Yeah. It's a 7-game series. Like, we don't.
I just find it very, 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 very fortuitous and funny that the guy that talked about the league doesn't like him.
That's a,
and that he's the defensive player of the year. He gets cooked in the end.
That's a tough look for him. Even if he was like, what else can he do in that position?
Oh, no,
there, right?
Look,
like,
it's still funny.
It's absolutely. It's like, that's funny, what I'm saying. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. It is hilarious, but it's also like, what else can he do except for be Wemby's height? You know? And like, his arm is just a little bit longer. And it's a tough look for you to say, I should be the defensive player of the year, and then the game winner gets hit in your eye.
Yeah, after you have the ESPN Mickey Mouse machine fully behind you.
Dang.
Doing propaganda for you. To have that happen to you on TNT?
That's tough. That's tough.
It's a real you hate to see it moment.
I don't know, though. Like, you said you see a gentleman sweep in this thing. After watching last night, I thought it would be Nuggets in six. I think that the Lakers do get one at home.
Even though these games have been close-ish, you've seen the Nuggets go flip switch, game over.
In
every one of these games.
Last night was like, what else can the Lakers do?
And not only that, the Nuggets played like crap in the first half. Like,
they did not.
You can say, well, the Lakers played well, and Anthony Davis, sure, fine. I watched the Nuggets just kind of meander through the game.
Yeah.
Just, you saw the execution look bad. Yeah. And it was just like, ugh. They come out in the second half, and then you got a version that, you know, the Lakers and nobody can deal with.
Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Good text here. Talking about the officiating, because the 76ers have filed a grievance with the league over the way their first two games in New York were officiated. Tyrese Maxey, we'll get into that game at the top of the hour. Tyrese Maxey was mugged. We can all agree.
Shankity, shank, 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 shank. No dog in the fight, but I laughed and I went, oh, they're not going to call that, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
But this is where this text says, why don't they call the regular season the same way? Games would be so much better and not create this inconsistency. That was the biggest gripe of players from February on.
That they did start calling it this way.
And they were like, why aren't we getting to the foul line? Why are things mm-hmm. so different? If the NBA does this every year, mm-hmm. we're like, pre-All-Star break, it is, we understand players are going to kind of feel their way through the first, you know, half of the season. And then the second half, we say, all right, you're not getting all the calls. We're going to lighten this thing up. Basketball was more enjoyable.
I think they should do it the way that this way all the time.
I agree.
And I think that's going to be the case, is that they found that too much offense, problem. Too much defense, problem. But you can't do anything about the three ball without changing the geometry of the floor. So how do we make things matter more? Because that's the thing. Regular season playoff, the difference between regular season and playoff is because the playoffs matter more. But if you make regular season games matter more by making the scores closer and more contested, then you get more interest. And it also naturally drives rivalries.
But this is the first year that I can remember, I may be wrong here, that the NBA has approached it this way.
Under the Adam Silver era, yes.
Where 100%. they have fundamentally changed the way they officiate games
openly at
the end of the regular season that matches playoff basketball. Usually, there's a stark contrast between regular season and then playoff start. You're not getting those whistles. It's big boy basketball.
Well, even
this has been a little bit different.
Even this playoffs, like, the regular, there has been a difference between regular season and playoffs. Like, it's even more murder ball out there. Yeah. Which, guess what? The basketball has been good because of it. So, yes, stick with it.
Yeah. All right. 503-864-6326. Keep the text coming. We're getting good text today on the Vancouver Ford text line. We will get to Philly, New York at the top of the hour. We got a quick one coming up next where I've got something for y'all here. I got a little NFL draft interlude. I did some research today.
Oh.
Yes.
You crack research team.
We are on the edge of something that hasn't happened in decades. How many? We'll get to. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
This is Draft Week with Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness.
On 1080 The Fan.
Two of the hot names in the back half of the first round of Thursday's NFL Draft are Cooper DeJean, the corner out of Iowa, and Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver out of Georgia.
Both names made up by the Madden Name Simulator.
Right. Right. And a lot has been going around about Cooper DeJean, who would be the first corner in white corner in decades to be taken in the first round.
Since Jason Sehorn.
No.
Oh, no. Since drafted. Yeah. Oh, God.
No. But I did a deep dive. When was the last time you had a white corner and white wide receiver drafted in the first round of a draft? What? It has been a while.
Was Ed McCaffrey a first-round draft pick?
No.
No, I'm going to go back. It's got to be before that. Are we talking the 50s?
No. No.
Not that far?
More recent than that.
Okay.
More recent
80s
than
or
that.
90s? 70s?
No.
Which one is
it? No.
Give me the decade.
I think we've narrowed it down to the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Is
mm-hmm.
it really?
Yeah. The last time you had a white corner and white wide receiver drafted in the first round of the draft, O.J. Simpson was the number one overall pick.
So was it 67?
Mean Joe Green was the fourth overall pick.
Good God.
It was 1969.
Nice.
1969, where you had Ron Sellers, was the wide receiver out of Florida State, taken sixth overall by the Boston Patriots.
Wouldn't have gotten that one.
And Roger Worley.
Ooh.
A corner out of Missouri was the 19th overall selection by the St. Louis Cardinals in the first round. That would be the last time that you have
had
a white wide receiver and corner taken in the first round. It should be noted, that is the last time a white corner was taken in the first round of an NFL draft.
He was drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals, not the baseball team. How confusing was that in St. Louis back then?
I don't know. I think you had a lot of that, though, because like you had the New York Giants in the New York Giants, baseball
and
football. You had the Cardinals and the Cardinals. I can't think of any others, though.
Man.
You know? Like, I can't think of any others.
This is a total squirrel moment.
Yeah, sure.
Thinking of this got me...
I kind of like it.
What, having the same team name in the
yeah,
city?
Yeah, well, I like it when a team goes same colors, like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh
yeah, the
is
city
black
of
and gold.
Black and yellow.
Yeah.
There was a really interesting marketing discussion I had with somebody who works at a big firm, and it was about the WNBA and about the Caitlin Clark stuff. And the question he asked, why did the WNBA not take the branding, if you're going to be an NBA affiliate, and not just be the W Knicks, the W Lakers, the W T Wolves, like in soccer, in the yeah. Premier League, you have women's Everton and women's Chelsea, like or yeah. Chelsea's women, like you spent all this money on branding for the Lynx and the Sparks for non-ubiquitous names, like names that you don't immediately recognize, and I was like, yeah, that actually is a really like. The Chicago Sky. And it's like, what if you were the Lady Bulls?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Why they didn't
That's
go down that
question.
Path? Along the same lines of like having the same teams across their names.
Like in college.
Teams in sports. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Colleges, right?
And that's, I was like,
Lady Bulls. And...
I don't have an answer for that. Like, I wonder what like the marketing behind that says, because I bet you it would be starting from scratch is worse.
Yeah. I think that like, maybe it's at the onset of the WNBA, they wanted to have that line of separation between the two. And then, like, you can't just change the Liberty, you know.
Now it's the Knicks.
20 years later. Yeah. You know, it'd be super weird. But at the beginning, it was like they wanted to have that line
to
of separation.
To be different. And when in reality, you probably shouldn't have.
And carve your own path where it would have maybe been easier to rope some of the fans in at the onset.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a crazy point.
Right? Yeah. Total squirrel thing, but it was a discussion that I was having with somebody from a global marketing firm last week, and I was like, I don't have a good answer to that. And he said it's something that he's thought about a lot. And I was like,
that's crazy.
I wonder, like, when you take a look at how many, if you did a market research, how many teams kind of follow those color patterns in individual markets?
Yeah, it's pretty, I like it when that happens. Yeah. It makes my heart warm.
All this goes back to the last time two white guys drafted in the first round, their wide receiver in a corner, 1969.
O.J. Simpson was the number one overall pick. John Madden had just been hired that year to be the head coach of the Oakland Raiders.
Fresh off of the offensive line coach.
Richard Nixon had just been taken office as the president of the United States of America.
3 years later, he'd be embroiled in it.
The Beatles had their last live performance as a band.
Oh, darn.
The 747 had
just
debuted.
Been built. There you go.
Yep, by Boeing. I wonder what the gas price was in 1969. That's always one that they throw at you.
19 cents?
Hold on, let me see. Let's see here. 35 cents a gallon. National average.
Yeah, no, that it would be a little bit higher because we were getting toward the early 70s.
With inflation, that would have been the equivalent to $2.79 a gallon.
So if you're wondering if you're being ripped off of the pump by the $4.39 a gallon right now, yes, OPEC is taking $2 more from you than they should be.
Yep. There you go. There you go. I found that to be...
I'd kill for $2.39 a gallon right now.
Yeah. Very surprising.
Like, we could find a body in the dumpster. Kind of thing.
It was still like hovering around a dollar when I started driving.
Yeah. I remember people were upset back when it moved up to like $1.25.
I found a picture from when I was in the Air Force on base. In the background, it was $1.09 on base.
Yikes.
In 2005. Because tax-free, duty-free.
That ain't good, bud.
Yeah.
That ain't good, brother.
Four times that now? Quite literally. It's gross.
It's not good. That is...
I don't make four times... Well... Started thinking about, do I make four times as much as I made in the Air Force then? Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. God dang it.
Yes, the notoriously high-paying U.S. military.
Yeah!
You know what I found interesting? Terry Bradshaw, by the way, was the number one pick the next year.
Wait, he was 70?
Yeah, he was 1970.
I thought he was in the 60s for some reason. Okay.
He was 1970. But as I was going through and doing this research, I didn't know that... So 1969, the Buffalo Bills drafted O.J. Simpson, running back, USC number one. Their 1970 first round pick, the fifth overall selection, was Al Cowlings, USC linebacker, driver of the white Bronco.
Wow.
He was their first round pick the very next year at five overall, also out of USC.
Look, man.
I had totally forgotten that he was like
USC. It's where friendships were forged.
Friendships were forged forever. Yikes! Yeah. So there's your factoid of the day: NFL draft, 1969.
Wow.
Yep. Jeez, Louise.
Look how far we've come.
Yeah. 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 These are coming up on the Vancouver Ford text line as well. Lady Bulls. That can't be a thing. Those are called cows.
Yeah, you understand what I'm
saying.
And
you don't want to you can't brand a team like the Heifers. Like, you can't do that. That is a problem. Like,
you just call them the Lady Bulls. Who cares?
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
The number one draft pick for your Chicago Bovines.
Yeah. All there will be is like Kingpin. Like, milk the cow this morning. All we got is a bull. Yeah, that is not, you can't, the Bulls may have been like the worst team that you could have thrown out there.
It doesn't matter. That's what my point
I
is.
I understood where you were going, and in the moment, I agreed with it. The listeners who have time on their hands It makes sense.
Even now, I'm standing by. It doesn't matter. It's like dude.
Yeah.
Gender neutral.
Mystics and wizards, they're pretty similar.
Also, real things.
Yeah, those are two really bad names, but at least they're connected.
There's no such thing as a lady bulls. There's no such thing as a wizard either.
You got the Timberwolves and the Lynx, right?
Yeah.
Which, again, why not just have it be the Timberwolves?
I'm guessing branding issues and such.
Mm. Okay.
They're owned by the league.
I understand, but, you know, there's a lot of dumb people out there.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah, the Lakers and the Sparks, like, their logos look almost the same,
yeah,
too.
All of the branding is similar.
Yeah.
With the exception of the sky.
Except for the sky. Yeah. Yeah.
But all the other branding is similar.
Okay.
It's all very dumb.
I'm with you. I like it. We should do that.
I'm looking at you, but I'm not really sure where I'm looking because I took my contacts out and you're just a ball.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
That'll happen. All right. Let's get to the game one of that TNT doubleheader.
Woo!
Drama at the end. And the Villanova Wildcats, the Villanova Wildcats beat an NBA team? Turns out they can. Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.